a new series tonight, probably between now and definitely going into November, potentially into Christmas, on this idea of Proverbs, looking at the book of Proverbs. And I suppose why we have titled it this, I mean, I say we, I titled it, and I'll let people know what's called it. A Journey of Wisdom, is because what we want to do, or what I have been wanting probably to do for about 5 years with this series, is I've been trying to get it onto the preaching rotor and trying to get it to fit in somewhere, and eventually we think we've got there. Is I really want to take a look at Proverbs, because I think it's a book that we don't really look at, or we don't really take seriously, or sometimes we don't really understand. And I want to look at what it really means to take the advice that we're given and to apply that practically into our lives. So I think often we come to sermons, we come to preaches, and we, as the people who are teaching, definitely we look at it and go, okay, so am I going to go down the route here where I focus on the context and the culture and all that kind of thing, or am I going to go on the really practical element? And what I think Proverbs is really going to give us is an opportunity to do both. We're going to be able to look at that context, we're going to be able to look at what the author and the people that have written these Proverbs is saying, but also really work out what that means for each of us today in the context that we're in, because that's what it was written for. It was written to help us to become wise for that journey of wisdom, and that's kind of why we've given it that title, because it's a journey. It's not a here's the answer, move on, and it's not a this will apply every day. Today, it's as we go through it, there will be different things that stand out, there will be different things that mean something to you or don't mean something to you. You could read one proverb one day and it means so much, and you could read it the next day and you'd be like, this has no relevance to me right now. So that is why I think Proverbs is going to be quite exciting, and that's why we are here today. But also what I'm quite excited about is that we're able to group these Proverbs into different themes. So rather than going Proverbs 1, 2, 3, 4, I'm trying to work out what this whole proverb is saying. When we're able to take themes such as finance, such as anxiety, such as God's plans for our lives, our worries, what it means to be family, what it means to have friends, and we're able to take all of those and look at the Proverbs as a big book and take out what are the key things that Proverbs is saying on those things and talk particularly into those elements. So we're going to be doing that as well, and we're also going to be hearing from a wide range of people. So it's quite nice in the fact that you will notice there are maybe some more younger people in the room than usual. We've done a kind of slight tweak and a kind of change of direction with what we're doing with YF on a Sunday evening, to allow and really encourage our young people to be here, to hear this teaching, that then we can head off to a space next door, as we maybe would do, unpack some of that teaching, particularly for young people. But what that's done is that's allowed us to free up a number of the youth team, maybe some people that you haven't heard from before who are going to be coming to share what these Proverbs kind of mean to them or what it is that they can teach us, but also different voices that you sometimes hear in an evening and you sometimes don't. So that's a bit of an introduction to why we're here. Most of you will know who I am. I'm Rob, I head up our kind of youth and under 25s ministries. If you don't, it's great to see you here tonight. But that is who we are, or that is who I am, and that is where we are heading. But let's get to tonight's passage and hope that my voice sticks out the whole way through. I had three boys under six all weekend. There's been a lot of repeating myself this weekend. So bear with me. It is worth it, I hope. So tonight we are going to start where I think we should start every book at the beginning. So we are going to start in Proverbs 1. So if you want to just turn there now, we're going to do Proverbs 1, 1 to 7. So we're really not going massively in too deeply in just yet. We're going to really have a look at that introduction. And just as you're turning there, I'm just going to pray, and then we'll kick into some of the content as well. So Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that we can freely speak about it. We can freely read it. And I pray this evening that we would all have open hearts and open minds to what it is that you want to say to each of us individually and also collectively this evening. In your name, amen. Okay, so we are starting in Proverbs, as I have said, 1, verses 1 to 7. And I am just going to read it through for you now. And then we're going to take apart each of these verses, answering some key questions that hopefully are going to help us understand it a little bit more. So Proverbs 1, the proverb of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel. To know wisdom and instruction, to understand words of insight, to receive instruction in wise dealing, in righteousness, justice, and equity, to give prudence to the simple, knowledge and discernment to the youth. Let the wise hear and increase in learning, and the one who understands obtain guidance, to understand a proverb and a saying, to the words, to the wise and their riddles. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. So, first questions we should always ask are usually what, who, and why. So that's what I have done to this, to Proverbs this evening. And really simply and straightforwardly, we're given the answer in the first couple of lines. So when we think about the what, the first two words of this passage tell us exactly what it is. It tells us that it's the Proverbs. Now, if none of you were churched people or had been in church before, anybody feel confident? I'm not going to ask you, just give me a reassuring nod or a kind of a shake of the head. Whether you could describe what a proverb or the Proverbs were. Okay, most people are kind of a bit like, oh, I'm not really sure. Which is good because that means I can go where I want to go. So, what is a proverb? We know that's what we're reading. We know it's the name of a book. But also it's what this book contains. And it's important to know, I think, really clearly at the beginning, what we're not saying these are is promises. This is not a book of promises that we've been given on if on how life will happen or what will go forward. It's not a list of promises, but it's more small pieces of advice on how life works, on how living for Jesus, living for God works in the situations that we find ourselves in. They're a little bit like golden nuggets for us to take into different situations. And as I've already said, as we face these different situations, different proverbs will be more relevant for us at the time. So we know what they are, but who wrote this book? Again, fourth word in, we're told it's Solomon. Now, who was he? And I think it's really important that when we look at Proverbs that we realise the reason and where these came from. So in 1 Kings chapter 3, we hear where Solomon was anointed king of Israel. Okay, he was anointed king of Israel from David, and he finds himself in a place where he is about to be the king of Israel. And he does a few key things that I think really set him up well. One for his reign of the country, but also for leading well for God in this situation. So we see in 1 Kings 3 that he does three things. The third one being the most important. The first one is that he makes a marriage alliance with Pharaoh, king of Egypt. So he thinks about the people around him and he makes that marriage alliance. Secondly, he sacrifices to God. So he sacrifices in a way that means that he is making God the priority for that country and making God the priority for him. And then during that offering, what happens is we see that in a dream, so this comes in verse 9. No, it doesn't. It comes in verse 5. God appears to Solomon in a dream and he says to him, ask what I shall give you. Now, I'm going to be honest. If I had a dream where God said to me, Rob, you can have anything you like. I mean, I'm thinking genie in a lamp, three wishes, you know, riches, long life, more wishes, you know, that shows my lack of humility and my lack of faith. But Solomon does a really wise thing here, and the best thing possible that he could do, what he says, is he says, you have shown great and steadfast love to your servant David, my father, because he walked before you in faithfulness, in righteousness, and in uprightness, a heart towards you. And you've kept for him this great and steadfast love and given him a son to sit on the throne. So he praises God, he thanks him for what he's done so far. And then he says, and now, O Lord my God, you've made your servant a king in place of my father. So he's made him king, he thanks him for making him king. And then he says, in the midst of this, I'm in the midst of your people whom you've chosen, a great people, too many to be numbered or counted on multitudes. So give your servant, therefore, an understanding mind to govern your people, that I may discern between good and evil, for who is able to govern this, your great people. Solomon asked God for wisdom to be able to govern well, to make the right decisions, the right choices. And what we get from that is we get the book of Proverbs. So Solomon asks for this, he asks for wisdom, he asks for this commitment, and then what he does is he records all that for us in Proverbs. And because God saw this was good, that this was genuine, this passage goes on to say, it pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this, and God said to him, because you have asked this, and have not asked for yourself, long life or riches or life of, or the life of your enemies. You've asked for yourself, understanding to discern what is right. Behold, I now do accordingly to your word. Behold, I give you a wise and discerning mind, that so none like you have been before you, and none like you shall arise after you. I give you also what you have not asked for, both riches and honour, so that no other king shall compare with you all your days. And if you will walk in my ways, keeping my statutes and my commands, as your father David walked, then I will lengthen your days. So God gives Solomon what he asks for. He gives him a wise and discerning mind, but he also gives him riches. He also gives him a long reign. And what we see is that he gained the wisdom that he asked for. But also, we see why we should trust the Proverbs, because these are God-given. This isn't Solomon just deciding that he knows what's right and he knows what's best, so he wrote these things down, and we now find them in our Bible. But what he's saying is that these have come from God, this was a God-given gift, and that I'm going to record these for you. But also what we see is we see a picture of God's personality. That when we ask, when we seek God on something, when it's real, when it's from a place of our heart and it's true, God is there to bless that, and God is going to work with you on that. What we also know is that Solomon didn't write all of these. He wrote some of these Proverbs, but he mainly compiled this book, which I think is important just to know that Solomon didn't write all of these. So we've had the what and the who. So what was the next question? The why. So again, Proverbs is very obliging, and it gives us a nice list of why we are given these. So verses 2 to 4 say to know wisdom and instruction, to understand words of insight, to receive instruction in wise dealing, in righteousness, justice, equity, and to give prudence to the simple, knowledge and discretion to the youth. So to put it very simply, Solomon has given us these Proverbs to help make us wise in our walk with God. As Christians, to help us to make decisions and to make choices about what we should do in different situations when it can seem quite difficult. Now, I don't know how many situations we're each facing in our lives where we are longing for God to move, where we are asking him for a plan and a solution, where we're asking for his idea or his thought on a matter. But if God would speak to me, where we're saying, if God would just speak to me in that loud, booming voice of his, all would be solved. What I want to say to you is the potential answer to your problem and your situation, it can be found in the book of Proverbs. It may not make sense straight away. It may need a little bit of unpacking. It may need to think about how it applies. But the questions that you're seeking can be found in God's word. And obviously for this series, we're going to be looking through Proverbs and what that has to say in each of these sections. But to be honest, why would we want to be wise? Why does it seem so important to me right now that we should be making wise decisions and wise choices? Well, for me, what this does is this shows us such a picture of the gospel of Jesus. So some of you might be thinking, like, that's great, Rob, but I'm not even sure that I want to change my life for Jesus yet, let alone become wise in his ways, let alone know about some golden nuggets that are going to make it easier or maybe even more difficult for me to be even more of a Christian. Who wants to be more of a Christian anyway? Well, interestingly, as I look around our society and I see people, we're facing more and more a serious problem of isolation. But what God says to the people that follow him, what God says to the people that are in relationship with him, is that he will never leave you. He'll always be there for you in every situation. I've been there, I've done it, I know what's going to happen. I know what is going to take place. So do not be afraid, do not worry, because he's saying that he loves you and he wants the best for you. And one of the ways that he demonstrates this is through his word. So if we think back to that idea of, God, I need you in this situation, I need your help, I don't know where you're at, and you're waiting for that loud, booming voice, what I'm saying is your place to start, yes, is in prayer, yes, is asking God for help and guidance, but also is in his word and in what we're going to be looking at tonight. So, we know who, we know what, we know why, but why would we want to? What happens when we start to read it? Well, we see in verses 5 and 6 that we increase in learning, in understanding, we obtain guidance, and we start to understand different things. Because interestingly, when you think, if you think of the wise people in your life, they tend not to make a mistake more than once. You tend to see that they learn from what they have gone through, or they learn from the moment that they've been in. But actually, the people who make the mistakes are the people who don't learn, who don't reflect, who don't think about what happens in that situation. And I'm occasionally asked, how do I develop my relationship or understanding of God more? How do I hear from God more? How do I know more what he wants from me? One of the fundamental answers to this is to read your Bible. Because it's full of instruction, it's full of wise words and knowledge, not just on who God is, but also how we are to lead our lives. That's why we find ourselves in Proverbs right now. Now, interestingly, just sort of wee side note, anybody know how many Proverbs there are without flicking to the back of the book? There are 31 Proverbs. Interestingly, a few of the months of the year also have 31 days. So my challenge for you, my encouragement to you, is to take the book of Proverbs over the next few months and each day to read the proverb that is associated with that day. So, today is the 25th. So tomorrow you'll be reading Proverb 26, for example. Now, what I'm saying is don't get too bogged down in this. If you miss a day, it's not a problem. Skip on to the next one. I would encourage you between now and Christmas, if we do that, that's going to be three times you're going to get through the whole book as we're looking at this series. Because what I think will happen is that on certain days you will see things that encourage you in your walk that you will understand and you will gain more from. Just a little challenge in there. So this all sounds great. We know who, we know why, we know what, we know why it's a good idea, we know there's 31 Proverbs. So if we just read Proverbs, is everything going to be okay, Rob? Is that what you're telling me? Unfortunately, it's not that straightforward. It's not that easy. So how is it that we should approach Proverbs? How is it that we should approach our relationship with God and understanding what he has for each of us? How is it that we gain this true Solomon-type wisdom that we heard about earlier? Well, again, verse 7 gives us the answer. What we need to understand is what it really means to fear the Lord. Now, for me, this often sounds a little bit odd and a little bit weird, potentially a little bit of an odd word to use when talking about our relationship with God. Why would anyone want to fear someone who loves them? Those sound a little bit like two contradicting words, don't they, at different ends of the scale. Well, fear here means, or fear generally of the Lord means to give him his place, to give him that rightful place in our lives. So I want you to think of it like a parent loves a child. A parent loves their children. However, as a child, many of you will probably remember, you aren't allowed to just do whatever you like. You can't just go off and make any decisions or choices. And boundaries are put in place. They give you boundaries that sometimes just don't seem fair, especially in the moment when all you want to ask them is, why are you doing this? But what we see here is that for some of us, we broke those boundaries, and some of us, we obeyed them, and we saw the different consequences that came with that. But in these moments of obeying, that when we obey our parents, when we obey God in what he's saying, we give God that place, or our parents that place, in our lives. We give them a respect, we give them an understanding that we want to give them. So with God, we have to make that choice to give him that place, to give him that respect, to fear him because of who he is and the power that he has. Interestingly, we read in the second line of the Lord's Prayer, there's a line that makes this really clear. It says, hallowed be your name. Now, hallowed means to set apart, to make holy. So when we say this is where, when we say this, we are saying, God, you are holy, and we recognize that in our lives. We are setting you apart and giving you your place of where we want you to lead and go from. And this is the fear that we're talking about. It's a fear out of respect, not a fear out of scaredness or anything like that. And if we don't do this, what we do is we turn Jesus into a pal. He just becomes a friend who we listen to only if we want to, or we think that we'll get something out of it. Now, I'll give you another example of this. I want you to think about electricity. How many of us rely on electricity on a daily basis? The answer is everybody. Okay. We all rely on it. We all need it. Most of you need it to charge your phones, to make sure you've got the right Snapchats coming through and you don't miss out on anything. But we rely on it on a daily basis. But how many of you would walk up to an electric fence and just touch it? You wouldn't, would you? Because you are scared of what electricity can do when you touch it. How many of you, if you'd come in this evening and we hadn't quite finished the renovation work in here yet, and instead of having the lamps and the lights, It was just electrical cables, just like falling, dangling from the ceiling, and they were all sparking. How many of you would have come in and gone, oh, it's really safe to be here? You wouldn't have done, because you know that it's not safe. You fear electricity. But at the same time, we turn on a light switch and we expect lights to come on. We plug our phones into charge and we expect that to happen, because we trust and we understand and we give it the respect that it deserves. But at the same time, we know when it's not safe. We know when it's something that we need to fear. But at the same time, we can still give something that we fear trust and respect. And it's only when we fear God and give him his place that we can truly see what it looks like to follow him in all areas of our life. I want to imagine that you had a friend that only spoke and connected with you when they wanted to hear your opinion. How would you view that friendship? Why then should our relationship with God be any different? Why should he listen to us only when we want to give him time and space? So this evening we've looked at the who, the what, the why, and what it means and how it is that we need to approach God's word, and particularly this series on Proverbs. But I want to leave you with the beginning of the next chapter, Proverbs 2:1-5, that makes a statement to all those who are seeking, to all those who are thinking about what Proverbs means. So it says, "My son, if you receive my words and treasure up my commandments with you, making your ear attentive to wisdom and inclining your heart to understanding, yes, if you call out for insight and raise your voice for understanding, if you seek it like silver and search for it as for hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God." So as we begin this new series, how are we going to approach God's word? As when we obey what we know, God gives us more, just as he did with Solomon. Not only did he give him wisdom, but he also gave him peace, prosperity, and the longest reign of no battles in the history of the kings of Israel. So let's be people who fear, follow, and search for God in all situations, life circumstances, and the places that we find ourselves. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you and that you are a God that we can give our lives to, that we can ask to be in control and to be in charge of what it is that you have for us. Father, I pray as we enter this series, as we begin to look at your word in Proverbs, your wisdom, your insight into different situations, Father, I pray that we would be open to that challenge. We'd be open to a different understanding, to a fresh understanding of what it is that you have for each of us. And I pray that we would be challenged by your word each and every day, that we open it and we encounter it. Father, we pray all these things in your name.